Good morning. We are 10 days into 2016, and what I hope that means is we have read the Bible 10 days straight. Daily Bible reading has been at the core of our existence as a local church for many years. Individually, daily Bible reading can form your knowledge base of God's will, can motivate your continued obedience to God, and can well regulate your relationships with people. If you haven't started, I highly recommend you start daily Bible reading today. If you need help, see me or one of the elders. Of all the things you'll do this year, the only thing of higher value than Bible reading is your obedience to what you've read from God from the inside out every day of your life. Now today, in two different passages in the New Testament, statements are made which convey to us what I'm going to call the limited power of the devil. The limited power of the devil. You heard this earlier, but listen again, please. In Hebrews chapter 2, verses 14 and 15, "Since therefore the children share in flesh and blood, he himself likewise partook of the same things, that through death he might destroy the one who has the power of death, that is the devil, and deliver all those who through fear of death were subject to lifelong slavery." Let me add to that Revelation 20 and verse 2, where there is the affirmation of the binding of the devil. Now, how does that work? What does all that mean to me and to you? I'm not going to take us into complicated, mysterious wanderings into the depths of the principalities and the powers in the heavenly places. This morning, I simply want to speak to us about what the devil cannot do. Very simple. What the devil cannot do. Are you ready to listen? The devil cannot steal you away from God without your consent. There isn't any question the devil has the mind of a thief. But he simply doesn't have the access. When you put your faith in Jesus Christ and you activate that faith in repentance and baptism, you enter into a relationship with God through Jesus Christ. If you stay there, if you continue to live under the authority of Christ, relying on His blood, correcting your course along the way, God keeps you safe, and one result of that protection and that fellowship that you participate in is the devil cannot steal you away from God. I want to read to you about that from the book of John in chapter 10, verses 27 and 28. John 10, 27 and 28. The Lord said, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. I give them eternal life, and they will never perish, and no one will snatch them out of my hand." Last Sunday morning, in Psalm 23, we considered carefully God's perfect promise of protection and guidance for us through Jesus Christ, the Good Shepherd. Well, here's a part of that. Those sheep who hear the voice of Christ and follow Him can embrace, as long as they're following Him, this promise: no one will snatch them out of my hand. So, if you have ever worried about that, stop it. Just follow Jesus. As long as you do that, there is never some sort of surprise attack. where all of a sudden the devil has taken you against your will out of the family of God and into his family. The devil cannot steal you away from God without your consent. He may want to. He is not above the mentality and the motivation of a thief, but God has limited him. The devil is restrained. He is bound. Listen to the Father in 2 Thessalonians 3 and verse 3. The Lord is faithful. He will establish you and guard you against the evil one. And in Hebrews 13, 5, keep your life free from the love of money and be content with what you have. For he has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. Know this about the devil. The devil cannot just steal you out of the family of God unless you want to leave. The devil cannot make you sin. Now, if you want to sin, if you think about it and look at it and consider the opportunities and dream about it and move closer and closer to it, the devil can help you get there. And once you get there by your bad choices, he can help keep you there. But if you are dead set against sin, in fact, the Bible says dead to sin in Romans 6. If the idea of sin and error is repulsive to you, if you've made the choice to be righteous, the devil cannot make you sin. One man said, he can lead you to water, but he cannot make you drink. Consider this. Can you name one case, just one case in the Bible, where the devil made someone sin who didn't want to? I'll give you a minute or two to think about that. In fact, I'll give you a couple of weeks if you'd like. You can get back to me on it. Can you name one case, just one case in the Bible where the devil made someone sin who didn't want to? Now, you may think of demons in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and to a lesser degree in the book of Acts. Demons, for a short period of time, were able to cause people to do strange things, no doubt. But is there a case where a good person wanted to do right before God but couldn't do anything but sin because of a demon or the devil? I'm not aware of such a case. When you find it, shoot me an email. I would offer this challenge as you go through your daily Bible reading this year. Look for this. Is there a case where the devil made someone sin against their will? I think your list will be empty. Listen to the promise that's made in 1 Corinthians 10:13. No temptation has overtaken you that is not common to man. God is faithful, and he will not let you be tempted beyond your ability, but with the temptation, he will also provide the way of escape that you may be able to endure it. Temptation is common, but sin is not compelled or externally deterministic. God says, I will always provide the way of escape. The devil cannot make you sin. And that means, for those of you old enough to remember, that the old comedian Flip Wilson was wrong when he said over and over again in his routine, the devil made me do it. He cannot make you sin. The devil cannot wipe out God's word from all human access. He can't do it. I believe you'll agree, prominent in our world today, whether there is cause or not, you determine, is fear. Fear drives a lot of people these days. We are afraid, and you will hear the components of this fear and the emotion and passion of it almost every day. What will happen to the country? What will happen to the home and the family and marriage? How far will churches go in their apostasy? And then, in the other worldly dimension, healthcare, the economy, and many are afraid about the climate, cause or no cause. We are afraid. We are a people who are driven by fear, it seems. And it may well be that some of those fears have basis. But I'm going to give you one thing you will never need to fear. Mark it down. One thing you will never need to fear. Don't ever be afraid that the devil can wipe out God's Word from existence. That he will bind it or remove it from human access. Don't be concerned. Don't be afraid of that. Because in 2 Timothy 2 and verse 9, in a context where Paul is urging Timothy to be a good soldier of Jesus Christ, and there's this statement of assurance, the Word of God is not bound. Now, the devil can discourage you from opening the Bible. The devil can put distractions in the way and keep you from reading the Bible and studying the Bible. The devil can tempt us from applying God's Word. But the devil cannot wipe out the existence of God's Word. Don't be afraid of that. All right, suppose, if you will, that all Bibles are confiscated. No longer printed. The presses at Bible publishing houses shut down. Just imagine that for a moment. All existing copies are destroyed. Someone goes from house to house. They take your copy and my copy. They somehow, in a digital means, remove it from all of our devices, our phones and our tablets and all of these Bibles that we have loaded. They're gone. Assume all of that. I don't imagine that will happen. Because I'm a very strong believer in the connection between God's providence and God's revelation. But suppose it were to occur. What about all the published works quoting the Bible? What about all the verses Christians have memorized? We could probably assemble together 100 Christians and put the New Testament together from memory. And most important, what about the Bible knowledge that we have here that we continue to remember and apply in our lives, the abiding Word of God within us? Paul's point in 2 Timothy 2:9 is, they can capture me, they can punish me, they can put me in prison, but the Word of God is not bound. And Jesus said it, didn't he? When he said, heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will never pass away. The devil can't wipe out God's Word. Don't be afraid of that. The devil cannot give you anything good. The devil cannot give you anything good. There are people who are convinced, I should say, deceived into thinking, the devil is the answer to their problems. And when we put it like that, it sounds absurd. But it happens that people can reach a place in life where they are restless seekers and hunters. But they're seeking turns in the wrong direction, and the devil steps into their minds, and in their weakened state, they follow his lead and think that the devil will do them some good. The devil cannot give you anything good. But there are people who are thinking that maybe life will be better with him than with God. Thinking that life will be better if they move away from the authority of God and His Word and the example of Christ and walk out into some great adventure of sin. And what follows that kind of thinking is worldly living. sexual promiscuity, intoxication, a life of less responsibility and more entertainment, reduced and eventually absent reverence for God, less interest in offensive behavior so that offensive behavior becomes eventually attractive. A selfish journey away from God through indifference and into sin. The devil has convinced these people in their fleshly state of mind that a better life is offered by the devil than by God. Jesus told a story one time, very much like what I've just described in Luke 15. I want to read part of that in Luke 15, starting at verse 11. He said, "There was a man who had two sons. And the younger of them said to his father, 'Father, give me the share of property that is coming to me.' And he divided his property between them. Now many days later, the younger son gathered all he had and took a journey into a far country, and there he squandered his property in reckless living. And when he had spent everything, a severe famine arose in that country, and he began to be in need. So he went and hired himself out to one of the citizens of that country, who sent him into his fields to feed pigs. And he was longing to be fed with the pods that the pigs ate, and no one gave him anything. But when he came to himself, he said, 'How many of my father's hired servants have more than enough bread, but I perish here with hunger? I will arise and go to my father and say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. Treat me as one of your hired servants.' And he arose and came to his father, and while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and felt compassion and ran and embraced him and kissed him. And the son said to him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. I'm no longer worthy to be called your son.' But the father said to his servants, 'Bring quickly the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet, and bring the fattened calf and kill it, and let us eat and celebrate, for this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found.' And they began to celebrate." Well, here's a man who thought that there was a richer, fuller, better life if he walked away from his father. Then the Bible says he came to himself. In the hog pen he came to himself. One translation says he realized he had been very foolish. I'm persuaded one reason the Lord told the story and one reason Luke recorded it was so that we can see the results of wasteful living before we ever make such a choice or have such a thought. The devil promises all kinds of adventure out there and excitement and temporal happiness, but he cannot deliver. He cannot give us anything good. God, on the other hand, offers us everything that is eternally valuable, and that offer is made through Jesus Christ. It is accepted by and it is kept by the activity of faith. The devil offers to you nothing positive, nothing good, nothing you need, nothing worth walking away from God, nothing worth not entering heaven. God, through Jesus Christ, offers everything positive, everything perfectly good, everything you need, and of such value, it is worth it to say no to the devil every single day. What will your answer be as we stand together to sing?